Luke chapter 6 is where we'll start. Luke chapter 6. Our title today is Who's Who? Who's Who? You know, in high school, there's that book, the Who's Who Among American High School Students or whatever, and everybody wants to be in it so you can put it on your resume and make it into the college you want. And then in college, there's that Who's Who book about people in college. And you can become a doctor and a lawyer, and the Who's Who book is there as well. It's the Who's Who among the best orthopedic surgeons, and Who's Who among the best trial lawyers, and Who's Who. And a lot of times people are wondering, you know, who's that? And who is this? And who are you talking about? And so what's awesome about the Bible is that, it'll let you know if you ask it. and we're going to find out today from the Scriptures who's who. Because I know that many people, you can think of many people are always trying to figure that out. You can think of a police lineup. You know, you got that lineup where you got the real criminal there, who they think is the real criminal, and then you got, you know, Bob, who, you know, works in the back of the office, and he's standing there, and he kind of looks like a criminal, but he's really not. He's just obviously just some stand-in. And you got, you know, some professional stand-in who kind of looks like the criminal. You line them up, and you're like, all right, now, Mrs. Smith, who's the one who took your purse? Yeah, yeah. And Mrs. Smith, of course, gets it wrong. Yeah, and then you know, okay, we don't have a good witness here. She does not know who's who. Amen. But with thousands of religions and even with thousands of denominations that claim the Bible, it's like, how could you sort it out? I mean, who's right? Who's wrong? Who's got it? Who doesn't? Good question. And the Bible's fine if you ask the question. And in Luke chapter 6, we're going to look at it a number of different ways as to how you can see who's who. And the first one is you can tell who's who by the reaction they get. For instance, I believe, and we're going to see in the Scriptures and Jesus teaches, that you can tell who's who biblically by the reaction that is produced by their existence. You don't even have to ask them a question. You don't even have to get to know them. You don't have to spend 10 years with them. You can tell biblically who's who by the reaction this person gets as they live their life. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Jesus is amongst a crowd, but he's looking at his disciples and he is speaking to them amongst the crowd. For there are few who will live the life of being a disciple of Jesus. Very few. And amongst the crowd, he looks at his disciples, and in verse 22, he says, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. You know, if you have a person who is hated, insulted, rejected as evil, you would think, yikes, get me away from that person. Woo, I've heard bad things. Well, you know, you need to put away your high school resume Who's Who books and get the Bible open and figure out what the deal is. Because you don't know what the deal is. You know, you'd think, well, that's a person that is not allowed to come here. They're excluded. People take pot shots at them. You're icky. I don't know. Reject the name as evil. You know, Charles Manson's name is synonymous with evil. And you'd think someone whose name is notorious, rejected as evil, you'd think, yikes, gotta be evil. You'd have to close the Bible now. The Bible says, blessed are you when men hate you. And hate is obvious. And I can guarantee you, if you live the Bible, you will be hated. For I can't read of anyone in the Bible who lived it who was not hated. From all the prophets to Jesus to his disciples. And you live a loved life. You're not a disciple of Jesus. Who are you? You're someone who's not hated because of Christ. Excluded? You know, let me ask you something. Do the quote-unquote churches in this town block your entrance? Are you excluded from entering the denominational places in this town? Of course you're not. Exactly. But disciples of Jesus are excluded. Are you insulted? Is your name rejected as evil? You know, and Jesus finishes this and he says, you know, I mean, I suppose if I, you know, tackled that guy riding his bike, you know, people would say, what an evil guy I am, and they would be right. You know, I suppose if I ran over and, you know, kicked dirt on the sidewalk that someone was trying to sweep off, they could, you know, say, wow, I hate that guy, he's terrible, and they would be right. So Jesus finishes his statement saying, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. You see, when you're a disciple of Jesus, you get serious with people, and you take people seriously, and you tell people the way it is, and that is why you're hated. See, when you're because of Jesus and you're a disciple of Jesus, and you proclaim to the false prophets that they are false prophets, when you proclaim to the flock that they are lost sheep led by blind people who will be led into the pit, you are excluded because of the Son of Man. You're not excluded because you're crazy and out of control. You're excluded because you're dangerous. When you preach the gospel for free, you're excluded from those people who do it for money because you're dangerous. When you preach the true gospel that's real and honest, humbling and impossible, you're excluded by people who preach a livable gospel, which is no gospel at all, because you're scary to them. You're insulted because the world does not have the power of the Bible to correctly use it, to correct, teach, and rebuke, and so they just throw insults at you. There's no refutation of a disciple by the Bible from a religious person. They just get insults. Come on. I mean, insults. I mean, it's going to be impossible to insult me of something worse than I already am. Come on. And then they reject your name as evil. You know, easier than dealing with the truth of the gospel that is preached is just rejecting the name as evil. Oh, you know them. Yikes. Well, that's pretty simple. I mean, and that's what happens. So, wait a minute. So where are we at? So who's who here? The one who is hated because they speak the truth. The one insulted because they speak the truth, the one rejected and excluded because they speak the truth, is the one to be. Well, I don't want that kind of life. Then you'll never be a disciple of Jesus. Just forget it. Go play and pretend. Well, that sounds terrible. Verse 23, Jesus goes on, rejoice in that day. And leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. You know, what is awesome is when you live the Bible and you are insulted as one who lives the Bible, you have immediate fellowship with the prophets of the Bible. Now, I don't know how some religious person can read the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea. I don't know how you can be a religious person or read those things, Lamentations, and relate it all when that's not your life. I mean, you might as well read Harlequin romance novels, which is also not your life. I mean, you might as well read fiction, which is also not your life. You might as well just read fantasy. But Jesus says, you know, hey, your fellowship is with the prophets. That is how people treated the prophets. Welcome. But he says something that, you know, I think really is honestly a test. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy when you are excluded, hated, insulted, rejected as evil. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. You know, it's a real test, I believe. For Jeremiah couldn't do it. Jesus couldn't do it. Real disciples have the right to leap for joy and rejoice. It's hard for us to do too. Because our heart is for the people to get this and not for me to be okay. And so I think there's a little test there because people will falsely say, fine, you know, Jesus was persecuted and you're being persecuted for something that's not true and you think it's biblical and it's not. He goes on in verse 26. Check this out. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. For that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Oh, you see it today. You know, Billy Graham is well spoken of. Robert Schuller is well spoken of. The Pope, though somewhat embarrassing and somewhat feeble, is well spoken of. And Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Who's doing this picture? You know, oh man, that guy is such an awesome man of God. Wow, you know, he is so incredible, respectable in every way. Look at his children are wonderful. His family, he's built this church. Woe to you when men speak like that about you, for they must not know you. And the false prophets, the people preaching lies, the people preaching, oh yeah, we'll all be okay. Those people were well spoken of because they preached lies to people who loved lies, and the people well spoken of today are those same people. Who's who? You mean the well-respected one? The one who gets the president's ear is not the top dog on the line? No. His fellowship is with the false prophets. For the king would crucify or otherwise execute the true prophet. You know, you got to get the Bible open. I mean, let's not pretend there's not a Bible available. You get it open. And the king loved the false prophet who said it was all okay. You got that? Yeah. That is how it is. So it's like, who? Those who are respected by the world are false. Those who are hated are genuine. And you have to get the Bible out to know that. But Jesus' words are clear. Jump ahead to Luke 13. Luke 13. Verse 22. We'll pick it up there in a minute. And you know, the question is, all right, let's take another example. Like, who's who? You know, the question I have for you is, how impossibly do you live? You know, what hurdles do you overcome? You know, it's like at the Olympics, you know, you have the badminton gold medalist, and then you have the 100-meter dash gold medalist, and then you have the, you know, high hurdles. We're going to talk high hurdles here, okay? It's like, who's who in the high hurdles? Who's who in the impossible stuff? Verse 22 of Luke 13. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? What you have to love is the fact that Jesus, unlike religious people, was not parading on his way to Jerusalem. He was actually teaching. Hey, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Now, how do we know that? Well, one, the Bible says it, but we know it was not some sort of parade and celebration because people were getting the message, yikes, this doesn't sound possible. Hold on a minute. Are you sane? It seems like what you're saying. And they ask, are only a few people going to be saved? Because we've not heard that before. We've only heard that everyone's okay, that we're all in the same boat, and it's all good because God loves us. And are you saying that only a few people are going to be saved? Who are those people? How do you become one of those people? But Jesus was not some watered-down religious ceremony. He actually taught, and the message was gotten. And the people understood, whoa, the numbers look few. The hurdles look impossible. The call looks impossible. This cannot be done. Surely this cannot be done. And you're right. Amen. I think Jesus teaches effectively. And you're onto something. You're right. It cannot be done. So who's who in the book of people who do things that cannot be done? You better get in that book. That's a real small one. I think they send it out pamphlet size. It's no hardbound volume. Verse 24, Jesus talking. And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. It is not possible. Who's who in the kingdom? The only people in the kingdom are people who live impossibly. If you don't have an impossible life, you're not in the kingdom of God, period. Jesus said, you have to make every effort. Many will try. They will not be able to. There is nobody, in fact, we can read the scriptures, who is able to. There is nobody in the kingdom of God who lives possibly. The only people in the kingdom of God are those who have an impossible life, a powerful life, one that does the impossible. And Jesus' message, as he made his way to Jerusalem, was clear as the people said, hey, are only a few going to get it? I mean, I'm used to making it into the book of who's who because 300 out of the 700 in my high school made it. It wasn't that hard. I'm used to the standard where it's like, hey, if I get this minimum and file that application fee, I'm in the book. Oh, the message was clear. The message was very clear. Are only a few going to get it? And then Jesus responds, not with, oh, you'll be all right, but look, the call is impossible. You cannot do it. And it starts, I love this, it starts with make every effort. You know, we call people to an impossible challenge, an impossible life, and most people can't even be in control of their own schedule to get together and study the Bible. I know you can't make every effort just to knock the riffraff out of your life and get to the truth. You're never going to do the rest of it. Make every effort. See, for disciples of Jesus, the kingdom comes first. Why are you in school? Because of the kingdom of God and my ministry. Whoa! Why do you have that major? Because of the kingdom of God and the needs of it. Whoa! What kind of decision is that? Why are you married to that person? Because of the kingdom of God and what it needs. Whoa! Why do you have that job? Why do you live in that house? Why do you drive that car? Why do you make that decision? Why do you talk to your children that way? Why do you come out here like a raving lunatic? The bottom line is because of the kingdom of God and the disciples of Jesus, submission to it. And there are few who live it. you! Man, that sounds like two or three! Well, you know, that's a serious number, isn't it? Few! You know, most people honor God with their lips, and their hearts are far from Him, and you can tell by what they choose first. It's like, oh, I was going to get together and study the Bible. My friend called and they wanted to go out and watch the basketball game. You're not serious. You're not making every effort. And you cannot be one of the few. Who's who? Who? So where? The few? How do I get it? You have to make every effort. God is looking for people who seek Him with all their heart. And the Scriptures are clear, Old Testament and New, that those who seek God with all their heart will find God. And God is watching. And God knows when people are not serious. And you know, people have many worries and many problems and all sorts of pressures. And Jesus told him in Matthew 6, hey, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, you have got to seek the kingdom first. And I guarantee you 100%, if you don't seek first the kingdom and you don't make every effort to enter through this narrow door, you have no chance, because the people in the kingdom live impossibly, and those people have got to have God in the game, because you cannot live impossibly without God in the game. Don't we have enough life to prove that already? Uh-huh. And it's like, man, this is a hard who's who to get in. Oh, no, no, you know, it's not a hard who's who to get in. It is an impossible who's who to get in. Now, let's call it what it is. This isn't hard. This is impossible. You know, actually, to be honest with you, I do this with no effort whatsoever. It's not hard at all. Jesus, in fact, saying it was easy. But you've got to show God you're serious, and if you don't, you can't do it. And if you do, you will do it. It's God's deal. But God needs to see you're serious, and He searches hearts and minds. Rest assured, I don't have the time, the inclination, or the authority to do so, so I don't, but God does, and He's letting you know where you stand, because your life is possible, and you don't do anything impossible. And you do not enter through the narrow door, because it is narrow, and you don't make every effort, and I'm sorry, but only a few will be saved. They knew that from Jesus' message, and Jesus said, make every effort, and you're too busy to make every effort. Too busy? So many times, people say they're serious. People say they're sincere. And it gets put to the test. And God shows them to be a fraud. And God shows them not to be serious. And God shows them to be an honorer with their lips, with hearts that are not committed. It gets a little intense here, verse 25. Jesus talking. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Yikes. Look. A lot of people believe that making it to church is what the Bible calls you to. You know, and the church you're talking about is no church at all, since there is only one of them, and it is a narrow door. It's not a double-wide door with a side panel door and a door over here where you can come on in any old way and sit down with no spirituality at all. It is a narrow door where you have to make every effort, and if you don't get in, you're not in. See, the difference is you're who's who? Hold on, you're getting too serious. You're either in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. You're either in the grace of God or you're out of the grace of God. Your life is either possible or it is impossible. You have either entered through the narrow door with the grace of God allowing you to do what you could never do on your own, or you haven't. But the time will come when that door will be closed, and the problem is you couldn't get through it. and you are unknown. The only people who are known, for he says that in verse 26, I don't know you or where you come from. The only way you get known is to get in. See, people want to believe that they can do a little good deed here and a little good deed there, and that that'll be okay. I'm sorry. You have to get in the kingdom, and you have to make every effort. That's the only way. Verse 26. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. Well, what in the world kind of qualifications are those? We ate with you. We drank with you. Remember the potluck dinner we had at church? And remember the time we went out and we handed out leaflets? Okay, hold on. You never made it in. Eating and drinking. Is not living the Bible. Jesus teaching you is not quite you obeying it. I mean, don't be deceived. Jesus teaching you, the Bible saying what it says, does not mean you did it. It raining down on you and being proclaimed to you does not mean that, oh, okay, now I'm doing it. You're just hearing it. Well, who cares? Everybody hears it. Verse 27. That's ugly. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. See, the problem is, when that time comes and it is too late and you didn't make it through the door, Jesus is going to say, God is going to say, I don't know you. And the reason you're unknown is, oh yeah, let's hear the sins you confessed in accordance with the scriptures. Well, I never got around to that. Well, how are we supposed to know you? I don't know you. You've not laid your life down. You've not confessed your life. You've not confessed your heart. You've not confessed your thoughts. You haven't been in the light about your temptations. You haven't talked about your sin, your attitudes. I don't know you. What, you think God knows you some other way other than you turning yourself in? I mean, I don't know you. Or where you come from. I don't know anything about you. That is what God is going to say, and you have not turned yourself in. Away from me, all you evildoers. Eesh. You do not want to be caught knocking on the door and still be an evildoer. Who's who? You can tell when you have entered because you are not the evildoer you are anymore. You don't live like an evildoer. But these people did. Nothing changed. Who's who? The only people in that book of life are people living impossibly and overcoming impossible hurdles. Those are the only people. There's no substitute for them. Away from me, you evildoers. You know, if you still live like you've always lived, you still live with impossibilities in your life that you can't overcome, then that's going to be the word to you. Away from me, all you evildoers, exclamation point. And that you dilly-dallied, and you pretended, and you hung out, but you didn't change, and you didn't make every effort, and you didn't enter, and it is too late, and I don't even know you. If you think you can live an unconfessed life, you don't know the Bible. If you think you can live in accordance with your abilities, then you don't know the Bible. And you'll never be in the book of life. Jump ahead to Luke chapter 20. You know, one of our all-time favorites in telling who's who is to just take a looky-see. Can I just take a look and tell? Well, yeah, Luke 20. Because so far we know that actually the people mistreated are people with the truth. And the people treated well are people with lies. Okay, amen. I would have thought that'd be reversed, but Jesus set me straight, amen. And I would think also that as we move to Luke 20, and I would think that also that the people who go to church are fine, and the people who don't aren't, but you know, you have to enter through the narrow door, and that's impossible. And so we have to look for the impossibilities of lives, but that would require that we know each other. And people aren't open and don't know each other, so that'd be hard to do. So let's get to Luke 20 and say, hey, can't I just tell who's who by looking? Absolutely. Verse 45 of Luke 20. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, you got to love that. Jesus oftentimes, the second time we've read it today, Jesus will talk to his disciples directly in the presence of many who are not his disciples, kind of for a number of reasons. To remind his disciples of, hey, regardless of this lost crowd, this is the standard. And also for the crowd to say, look, it's a whole different deal over here. This isn't plain church. Verse 46, Jesus talking to his disciples in front of the crowd. Beware of the teachers of the law. Beware. Man, they're like a Rottweiler. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. You got to be careful, though, because it's like, can't I just look at the situation and tell who's who? Exactly. You can. The one who looks important is a false teacher. The one wearing the flowing robe is lost. Beware of them, Jesus said. Well, hold on a minute. I thought the person wearing the uniform and the robe was spiritual. You'd have to ignore the Bible to believe that. But the fact is, the person wearing the flowing robe, the uniform, is lost and trying to keep you lost. Who's who? Can't I just tell by looking? Absolutely you can. You know, the one who loves to be greeted publicly, oh, Father so-and-so. What in the world kind of gibberish talk is that? Oh, Pastor so-and-so. The people who love to be greeted publicly are false teachers. That's what Jesus says. Beware of them. Get this. This is incredible. Nobody would know this if Jesus didn't tell us, right? They love the most important seats in the synagogues. You know, the people at your church who have their own reserved parking spot are the false teachers. The people at your church, that's what Jesus said. These are the people who love the most important seats. The people who have the reserved seats in your church are the wolves. That's what Jesus said. You can tell who's who by looking, but you'd have to actually open the Bible too and take a looky-see with spiritual eyes. And the people who, that's Pastor so-and-so's seat. He's a false teacher. I know that from what is said here. It is undeniable. The person with the most important seat is lost. Period. Don't you love how cool that is? Man, this is clearing up nice, isn't it? I'll tell you what, I know what goes on. When your pastor allows your congregation to celebrate his birthday, his anniversary, his new gig, or his new accomplishment, he's showing you he's lost. Because they love the places of honor at banquets. 1 Corinthians 12 says, the indispensable parts are the weaker parts, and those are the parts shown special treatment. But the true teachers, preachers of God's word, need no special treatment, the Bible teaches. And Jesus is saying, yes, if you would just look, with eyes that could see, you would know who the false teachers are, who the wolves are, who the false preachers are. You would recognize them because they love the most important spots. They love their reserved parking. They love their increase in pay. They love their merit bonus. They love their new title or position. They love it. They love being honored for having yet another meaningless anniversary. They love being honored at the banquet for having accomplished nothing. They love to receive presents and cards and well wishes for another silly, who gives a rip birthday. They love it. And that is how you can tell who's who. You just have to get the Bible open and say, wow, the people who look so important are actually the lost people, leading other people to be lost. And I wouldn't have known it, but Jesus says it clearly. And isn't that awesome? And he says, beware of these people. And you know, they're teachers of the law. Anytime they get in some trouble, they can use a seminary term to try to get out of it. Well, that might work with someone who's not a disciple of Jesus, which is why they will exclude disciples of Jesus at the door and make sure they never get in that place, which we already covered, right? Verse 47. Who's who? Jesus talking, he says, they devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. You know, it's a terrible thing. Colleges are one thing. Hey, they don't purport to preach the Bible. But you know, when you graduate, your college is going to send you some stuff about your will. And they want a piece of the action when you die. Well, amen. What do we expect? But you know, quote-unquote churches do that too. And when they see an old man die, they're like, oh, it's widow time. Little old Mrs. Billingsley, who never did handle the checkbook. She didn't handle the investments, but she loves our church. And tick tock, tick tock, you know, old people die soon after a spouse dies. You know, Mrs. Billingsley, just to keep things from getting in the hands of your daughters, who I know are not Christians, maybe you ought to sign your house over to the church, or at least do some equity loan type stuff and give contributions. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. And these false teachers, people who preach for money, will devour widows' houses, incomes, lives. They will make them feel guilty, scared, insecure. And there's nobody saying anything about it. For if we can keep lifetime members, it'll all be ours one day. Ooh, that's gross, isn't it? That's what Jesus says happens, and it does happen. And for a show, make lengthy prayers. Who's who? Oh, our pastor's so awesome. The service is just so entertaining. Careful. Did you say entertaining? Because Jesus said, for a show. We got a new skit for you today. Oh, that is in the Bible, right here. Those teachers of the law, those wolves, those false teachers, who's who, who's doing what, who's where? They make a show. Whoops. And lengthy prayers. Not deep prayers, not honest prayers, not humble prayers, lengthy, on and on and on. And you know, some will even pray in the King James just to make it look more spiritual. I'm glad I've got the Bible so I don't have to trudge through the exhaustion of enduring that. I mean, can you imagine? It's like, now who's who? It is easy to tell who's who. It is easy to tell. If your preacher is not hated, he's not a preacher of the gospel. If your preacher is not excluded, but rather invited to this convention and this interfaith fellowship, he's not a preacher of the Bible. If your preacher has government officials, you know, Ariel Sharon or some other non-believer to the congregation to address them, he's not a preacher of the Bible. If he's not excluded, he's not a preacher. If his neighbor's not spoken of his evil, he's not a preacher. If your life is not like hovering on a cushion of air at an impossible level of living, you're not a disciple. Just letting you know who's who. And if your preacher dresses up, has his own seat, has his own parking spot, beware of him, for he is in fact a false teacher, a teacher of the law, not a disciple of Jesus, and he will teach you lies, and that is who. You know, you could go through the whole Bible, and I think this is something to do. As you live your life and as things happen to you, ask the question, where is this in the Bible? And who am I in it? Now, you have to be pretty humble to do that because the news will probably be bad. Find yourself in there and say, oh, man, Jesus was afraid of nobody. Jesus attacked nobody. Jesus ran from nobody. Wow, those disciples really confessed their true heart. Wow, those prophets did not shrink back, though Isaiah in 53 said, who has believed our message? Answer, nobody. Keep preaching. Hey? And you will have to ask, where am I in the Bible? When I present to people, like, who's who in this picture? Stop, hold still, Polaroid moment. Okay, now take that picture, blow it up. Who's who in this picture? Where are you in the Bible when we get the Bible out and we say, all right, who's who in this picture? Where are you at? And I'll tell you, that's a question you want to answer today rather than after the door closes when all you have to speak about is, hey, we ate and drank together and you taught in our streets. There's 6 billion people who can say that. I mean, God promised everyone's going to get their chance. The question will be, who are you in the Bible? And the answer is ugly. It's ugly. And if you can accept it, you're on your way. But you gotta be serious and come to play. I mean, if you're, you know, people who are not seeking the kingdom first don't make it. People who don't make every effort don't make it. And that will be tested. All right, amen. 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 It's warming up.